Because the other night, I was teaching at Rosie O'Neill's church, and I was making a point how if you're faithful, God makes you able. And so I was using illustrations. You know, I said, now Terry runs our aviation department. He'd never had any, you know, formal training, da-da-da-da-da. And so then I said, well, Terry, what did you used to do? And so, you know, the church is jam-packed, everybody. And he says, I was in the order processing department. You follow me? I was doing order processing. So, you know, I didn't mean any harm. I said, he was making tapes. And, of course, everybody just busts out laughing. But, you know, that's what he was doing. He's making tapes, you know. So, you know, he order processing. You know, he making tapes. So, you know, that's what we were all laughing about.
Good morning. Tanya Wilson. I've been a member for years.
Outstanding. All right. Well, today is intended to be a good day. I thought we'd do it on a day of the week when we were paying you all. And so I'm paying for your attention. Y'all like that? This is not a Saturday. This is the day of the week. Therefore, you cannot sleep. I let you sleep on Saturdays when y'all come, you know, but you can't sleep all day because you'll be sleeping on the job. Unacceptable. All right. Everybody should have a syllabus in hand, and I want you to go to page 3 of your syllabus. We want to outline very quickly some of the objectives that we have for today. Ought to have a fun day. You're going to have some time to participate. Now, you can start your tape now, Mars. Okay. All right. Maximizing workplace productivity. So our goal is just to see every manager develop and make a commitment to what I like to call fail-proof process. And it'll cause you to maximize your time, and it'll produce positive results on an ongoing basis. First thing I want to do is just applaud the staff we have, and I have 10 points here that I think our staff can be applauded on. Number one is that the majority of the managers possess the expertise to do their jobs. That was a good place to clap right there. All right. And majority of the managers do demonstrate a commitment to the vision. Most of our managers, majority of managers are self-starters and can work well without oversight. Majority of our managers care about the staff, and that is you care about the people who work under you, and that's very good. All right. The majority of the managers respect pastor and first family. And, you know, that should be all, but, you know, we got a little problem with some people. So we praying for them. Amen. But there must be respect for pastor and first family. Amen. The majority of managers are not involved in strife or any confusion. Please clap your hands. Please give no drama. Praise the Lord. Have no drama going on. We don't like drama. Amen. The majority of the managers understand our commitment to staff. Now, our commitment, I'm talking there about me and Dr. B's commitment to staff, that we are committed to people who work for us. We're committed to our church. Not everybody understands that, but I think most of our managers understand that you all, we don't take it for granted. I preach about it, and I say it when I'm preaching, but it's a serious thing. I know how valuable people are to God, and that makes them valuable to me. And then at the same time, I know our ministry has arrived at the place where it is because of the commitment of people. And so, thank you, Dr. B. Yeah, good. Yeah. And we're committed to them. And at one time, that was an element that was really sowing a lot of discord about questioning our commitment to our people. And our commitment is seen time and time again. When our staff goes through any challenge, we can be there to help them. We'll do it. And we didn't, amen, that's just the way it is. You know, we go overboard as much as we can. And within the framework of the law, we have to be real careful because this is a society where folk are sue you at the drop of the hat, even staff. Oh, and I need everybody to cut off your telephones. I don't want a phone to ring while I'm talking. So, yeah. Huh? I mean, it vibrates just though. I don't want to hear a ring and nothing like that. You know, while I'm talking, I appreciate everybody's attention. So, and I know how busy everybody is. You know, amen. So our commitment is saying time and time again with our staff, we have to stay within certain guidelines so we don't get sued. Because staff folks smile in your face. We've had several staff people sue the ministry. And, yeah, y'all didn't know about it, huh? Yeah, and we have to do certain things so as to safeguard ourselves. Because when people sue the ministry, they're suing you. Amen. Your livelihood is at stake when somebody sues us. And you have to understand that. So, and of course, this last one, praise the Lord, we prevailed. Glory to God. Amen. And it was almost our kindness that got us in trouble with a staff person. Our kindness. We were being kind to them. And because of that kindness, they try to take advantage of it. And but praise the Lord, we prevail. majority of our managers work together as a team to accomplish the goals. Now, that's not a faith statement, y'all do. No. No, I've watched it. I've watched it when we need it. When we need it, all hands on deck. All hands come on deck to get it done. And that's a good positive. Number nine, the majority of our managers are committed to lifelong learning principles. Y'all know what I mean by that? That means, you're advancing yourself through staying abreast of modern technology, the changes in your particular field. You read extra books. You go to seminars. You many of our members or our staff, request to go to certain classes that's going to upgrade them in the areas. And that's good. That's good. Because we got to stay on top. You got to stay on top of your game. If you don't, then the whole world passes you by. And then number 10, majority of managers will do what it takes to make it happen. All right. So what are our goals for today? Let's go back to page 2 and let's look at our goals. I want every manager today to clearly understand our business. Number 2, I want our managers to maintain an excellence consciousness. Now, by excellence, I'm not meaning how things look, but I'm talking about excelling, taking us to the next level. The position that God has our church in is that other churches look to us for direction in the body of Christ. That's a high responsibility. That's a very heavy responsibility. In our upcoming pastors' conference, we have almost 900 pastors that registered. That's unheard of. That is seriously unheard of, to have 900 pastors registered for a conference. That's just unheard of. But that shows you the respect that we have. Number three is our managers. I want our managers to make a commitment to communicate with each other. And by that, I don't mean just speak to each other. I mean when we're involved in a project, what I've seen over the course of time is the breakdown is that people make assumptions and don't talk to each other. And that always creates problems, and it ends up many times costing us money. Just because you won't talk to each other. You assume a person knows. And you got to get the discipline where you pick up the phone and you call the other person. Don't trust that they read the email. They should have read the email, but if they didn't, then you're making an assumption that they have information that that they may not have. So that's one of the critical things. So if you want to highlight something, you can highlight number 3. Managers making a commitment to organize his or her area. Oh, please put a star behind this. Praise the Lord. Please put a star behind that. Yes, indeed. Amen. That's self-explanatory. Would you agree?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Number 5, every manager making a commitment to follow through on directives. Follow through. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even when you've delegated something to someone else, it is your responsibility to follow through. You've not abdicated your responsibility just because you've delegated. And so it is disheartening when we've given a directive and I go to a person, ask the person, and they go, well, I told so-and-so. Or they gave me the excuse, well, so-and-so didn't complete it. Well, you didn't follow through. That's important, following through. Number six, our objective for this summit today is we want you to leave having established five things that you're going to make improvements to in your work area in your life today. Number seven, every manager make a commitment to support the church vision enthusiastically. How many people are part of Circle of Light in here? How many people are part of Circle of Light? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Every manager establish a plan to measure productivity. Every manager needs to establish a plan to measure productivity in their area. Now, this is so important because the only way you can really see whether or not your workload is exceeding the labor capacity that you have is that you have a way to measure your productivity. And the only way you're going to be able to justify coming to me, asking me to hire employees or to do other things is you got to come with some facts. And most times when people approach us with to make a decision, they have no facts. And, the stressed out look on your face is not a fact, you know. So you have to have a way to measure the productivity in your area, all right. So it's quite simple. You have to figure out what it is in your area, how many man hours it takes to do X number of things. And if you got more things to do, it requires more man hours. Those are the kind of things that you have to come up with a way to measure your productivity. Otherwise, rewarding you or helping you is just a guess. Got it? So you have to do that. You have to be able to do that. In areas, try to give you some examples, in areas where phone calls are coming in, okay, let's say we have 1,000 phone calls coming in, you know, on an average basis, and then that jumps to 1,500 phone calls. Well, you know, if you've not tracked that and don't know that and just say we're having more calls coming in, what is more calls? That's not definitive enough to give us enough information to make a decision. So we have to have facts and figures. You have to figure out a way to measure productivity in your area. Number nine, every manager to commit to saving the ministry his or her salary in 2006. And that is, your productivity should be to the point that you save us money or you do things to increase money. I believe that everybody ought to pay for themselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, don't look like that. My Lord. You know, there are ways to do it. We'll talk about that. That's just the objective. So we'll get to how you arrive at that. But I believe that your creative ideas, things to save us money, at the end of the day, you should be either have made your salary by your productivity or saved your salary by your productivity or come up with creative things. You got it? And like I said, I'll show you how to do that. It's easy for everybody. One easy way, I'll show you real one easy way, and then not be proud. All right. Every manager commit to a written schedule of projects and tasks. What I've noticed many times when interacting with some of the managers is that you know, you can discuss a task or a project, and then it just kind of goes in a la-la land. You got it? And then you come back and ask them, well, what are you doing on this? And they go, oh. And I go, wow, you must didn't write it down. Or if you wrote it down, you didn't keep up with what you wrote. And that is frustrating because that means, especially when I have to interact with you, that means I got to keep up with what you're doing, and I can't do that. You'll see in a minute why I can't do it. All right? Number 11, every manager commit to encourage other workers in purpose. Now, what I mean by purpose is we've got, the Bible says, we provoke one another to love. So we've got to be our own exhorters around here. And we got a lot of people who exhort, who are natural exhorters. But I like to see us as a team exhorting each other, telling each other you're doing a good job. Everybody likes to be affirmed. Amen. Everybody likes to be affirmed. And so us having the discipline to affirm each other, to encourage each other, is a real positive as far as creating an atmosphere in our church, especially, you know, when we got a million and one things to get done. You follow me? But us learning to do that, because we've got some good quality people here. One reason I send our staff off to other conferences is so they can come back with a greater appreciation for what we have here. You never know what you have here unless you have something to compare it with. When we went to, I sent our staff to the Billy Joel's conference there in Tulsa so they could see cell groups after 20-some years of cell groups. I mean, his statistics, proportionately, we outpace him to the point he wanted to know what we were doing. When we go to board meetings, he was sitting there asking me, what are you doing? Well, I did that. I sent our staff there so they could see, get an appreciation. We just got ours off the ground, our small group ministry off the ground. And rarely does a small group ministry do as well as our small groups ministry are doing in its inception. I spent about, how much did I spend the money to send y'all to the conference on a stewardship campaign? Huh? About $3,000? Yeah, about $3,000. Sent them to a conference on stewardship campaign. They called me and go, we don't know why you sent us here, because we could tell these people what to do. You know, they got an appreciation for it. That's the whole point is, so we got a great team of people, great commitment, and it doesn't hurt just to tell the person how well they are doing. Amen, Reverend Hilliard. You know, I mean, that's the Bible too, y'all. You know, it is the Bible, okay? It is the Bible. But, you know, granted, I mean, we're doing a good job. But I think we all need to encourage each other, because you'd be amazed at it, at what it will do for you, because whatever you make happen for others, God makes happen for you. And so as we begin, turn around and encourage somebody right now. Come on, turn around and encourage somebody right now. Yeah. We're going to start this thing right off. All right, great, great. Now, nobody turn around asking about it. What do you do? No, but on the whole, seriously, there's not a deadbeat in the room. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Marker five. Every manager established a bid consciousness during procurement when we're buying things, understanding we need to make sure we save money and are good stewards at that point by getting several bids, all right? So those are our goals for the summit today, and I think as we began to walk through the material that we have for you, that you'll clearly understand all of these goals are attainable. We can attain all these goals. We can do it. We can leave here with a positive commitment today, and not just having set through, you know, a day of information. Let's go now to the first session that you have on avoiding overwhelm in ministry. Avoiding overwhelm in ministry. You got that? I just think it's on page four, I'll give you some information on that, but you've got a note section there, right? Yes. I trust you'll take notes. If you've got questions, you can ask the questions when we finish. But the call in the working ministry is real dynamic, and it's not the same as working in industry. And I think you have to be conscious of that when we work in ministry, no matter what your area is, It's not the same as working for ABC Company out there. And here's why. Because the church is in the crosshairs of the devil. So you got that satanic attack factor that is ongoing. Because he wants to derail purpose, he wants to derail God's plans. And so you got to be conscious of the satanic attack that you are that you will be subject to simply because of your commitment to work in the kingdom of God. They're going to attack you anyway, but there's an attack to undermine, especially in a management position. There's an attack to undermine the whole effectiveness of the ministry by attacking its parts. And so we have to be aware that we're going to be bombarded with what I call intrusive negative thoughts that you got to guard your heart against. And the Bible says we must keep our hearts, guard our hearts with all diligence, because out of the heart flows the issues of life. And that's one thing that we cannot do for you. We cannot protect your heart. We cannot avoid, we cannot protect you from the thoughts that the devil will send. What has to happen is you have to be conscious that there will be thoughts that will come into your mind that you have to cast down, that you will have to deal with. In certain areas, you have to almost deal with it more, especially areas where you are you're at the point of receiving negatives from members. Membership services is one place, because you are handling problems all the time. And if you don't watch it, those things will overwhelm you, especially when you're handling negatives from people all the time. They don't like this. They don't like that. They don't like the other. And the devil will tell you nobody likes the church. Well, if that's the case, you wouldn't be here, and neither would I. You got it? So those kind of thoughts that come across your mind, you have to really work to protect your heart from turning negative on the ministry. The ministry should not be a place you dislike. You shouldn't get a place to a place where you dislike your job, you dislike church, and you're just working here because you're getting paid good. And if that's the case, you need to talk to me, because you need ministry, you need help. And you got to understand, I've invested too much in you to throw you away. So if you came to me with that idea, or came and said, "Hey, Pastor, this is what's going on. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to minister to you. I'm not going to plot your departure." You got to understand that, because I understand the attack that comes. And that's a part of being in this game. That's a real thing that happens. And so guarding your heart is critical. It's real critical. And so you have to guard your heart by guarding the company that you keep. You got to watch the company you keep. If you're around people who are always talking negative about church, about pastor, about First Family, I got to tell you, it won't take long before it'll turn your heart. And you got to be careful of that. You got to be careful to guard your heart against corrupt thoughts. And corrupt thoughts is more than just thoughts against the ministry, but letting sin in into your life. Because the devil don't play fair. He will wear you down, and then before you know, you're sneaking and doing one thing and another. And then you put your whole ministry, your whole ministry at the church in jeopardy. You put your job in jeopardy. And many times it puts your family in jeopardy if you lose your job. So you got to make sure that you have a commitment to righteousness, you know, and not a commitment to not getting caught. You follow me? There's a difference between a commitment to righteousness and a commitment to cover up. So if you guard your heart against that and stay on target with that, you can keep the devil out of your business. All right. I want to bring up this one situation, because I was talking with a Dr. Carr one day, and interesting conversation we were having about you know, getting overwhelmed because she's, you know, she was basically saying, I don't know how you do it with all the stuff, negative stuff you hear, and you just keep going like I go. And that's because I understand people have problems. Drama is a part of a whole lot of people's lives. But just because they're having drama doesn't mean I ought to have drama with them. You got it? So I understand that, and I keep that in perspective. I keep it in perspective that we are the largest ministry of color here in town. Along with being the largest ministry of color, I think we'll be maybe probably the second or third largest church, period. So we, you know, our culture is a culture where people despise the success of their own more than any. And I, you know, my belief on that, that's aftermath of slavery. They taught us not to trust each other, not rejoice with each other. And so, you know, our people are throwing more rocks than anybody at us. And the whole problem is, the problem with that is we haven't done anything to them. We're not asking them for anything. Our members are doing all our support, you know. But there are people who will be haters of the work and haters of the ministry. You got it? And you can't lend your ear to that. If you start lending your ear to it, you follow me? It'll turn your heart. You have to protect your heart. If you don't, I got to tell you, it won't be long before your heart will turn and you'll just be here and the devil will pick you off. I've seen him pick so many people off. You know, you may fabricate a justifiable reason for it. But bottom line is, if it was a calling, it still is a calling. The Bible says the callings of God is without repentance. And so I've watched over the process of time how people not guarding their hearts, not guarding their mouths, you know, not keeping things in perspective. You have the ability, or you have the privilege to work. You may not be a privilege so much. You have a privilege to work where you go to church. Other people leave work to come to church. You're already at church. Look how much gas you save. Look how much fuel you save. See, it's all about perspective, all about how you look at it. And if you don't watch it, you see, you'll be saying, wow, you know, I'm up here all the time. When there are a lot of people who are away from home as much as you are, but it's split up with other things. And so that has to be kept in perspective. If it's a calling, it's a calling. And you have to make that calling sure. By making it sure, you have to stay anchored in it, that this is what I believe my life purpose is, what I'm called to do. And this is what I do. So keeping that in perspective is very, very important. And not letting the negatives of people cause you to be negative. You got it? You have to be careful on that. You know, I'm flashy, so a lot of folk don't like me because I'm flashy. But that's their problem. I'm not going to change who I am. You know, that's just it. I'm not changing who I am. Because if it wasn't that, it'd be something else. We had an interesting thing. During the Katrina, somebody sent a negative email about us, about me and the church and that sort of thing. Somebody who didn't know what was going on. So I told the person, I said, well, who showed me the email? I said, well, you know, they're talking about your church, your pastor. You answer them. I'm not going to answer them because you can never really satisfy people who want to nitpick you. And so that person decided to answer them, sent me the answer they sent them. And the person's response was something. It was amazing. Because the person who wrote the negative email at first, when they got the response, here's how they responded. Well, y'all should do that. Y'all got all that money over there. And your pastor, yeah, he should get that kind of money. Because I think Dr. Bridget and I, we gave about $30,000 of our own personal money. Oh, you should because you got all that money. So I told him, I said, see, you can never satisfy a person who wants to be a critic, a person who wants to be a hater, no matter how much information you give them, because their hearts are set on whatever perspective that they have. So you got to understand that's just the reality of life. Got it? You have to saturate yourself with knowing how good the church is. And if the church was all that bad, we wouldn't be number one. That's all you got to understand. If we were all that bad and nobody liking our church, we wouldn't have the thousands who come. And every year our church increases. Every year. I think last year we touched with about 10,000 people. And that was that? Right at 10,000 people who came and responded to our church. You got it? I mean, and that's just incredible stats, incredible statistics. Right, right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, those who walked through the door. So, and that was those we counted that walked through. Good place to clap. Mark her five. So really.
That's not clear.
What's that?
Is the people that got saved born again deal with the Holy Spirit?
That's people that responded in appeals, didn't it? Or appeals or visitors and that sort of thing. People actually filled out cards. Okay, all right. But that. No, more than 10,000 people came to church. Yeah, but my point is, here's the point I want to make. I'm making the point that you can't let a negative comment from somebody turn your heart against the facts and what you know. If it was the case, we wouldn't be where we are. But see, saying that is one thing. Keeping that forefront is another. And you have to keep it forefront. You have to force yourself to remind yourself of the magnitude of ministry that this is. It's not automatic. Even though you know it, Paul says, I have to put you in remembrance, even though you already know it. You got it? We had a situation, man, from a lady in the Golden Triangle, and I never even told Sheldon who it was. But anyway, she called and man, what'd she email you? Call, yeah, yeah. And man, she's talking about how terrible things were going down there. Nobody was coming to church, and the place was uninhabitable. She raked it over the coals. And y'all know how Sheldon normally talks very slow. He got fast that night. He was talking fast that night. Boy, Shelly got all hot, you know. And, I'm getting all these glowing reviews from down there. You got it? Of things that are happening. And let her tell it, was nobody pleased with the hurricane relief or nothing. But that wasn't the facts. That wasn't the facts. So I wanted him to be aware of it, so I shared it with him. This is what's happening, da-da-da-da-da. And I told Shelly, I'm not attacking you. I'm just letting you know what's being said, so you can counter by standing up again, talking about how positive it is. And here's why. It's because if that person was negative enough to tell us, then that person could be trying to taint the reality of what's actually going on there. Follow me? And, everybody else told me how beautiful the place was. You got it? But my point is, see, you have to guard your heart. And you will hear negative things, but you have to remind yourself of what's the truth. What is the reality? And reality, as New Light, is the church like none other. It's a church folk are jealous of, but that's their problem and not ours. Keeping your heart right, that's the key. All right. Now, keeping your calling sure is critical, and because if I keep my calling sure and stay on target, I will always keep my joy. Amen. God sent you to the light. You're part of the light. you have to make sure you're a good steward of your calling. Now, on being a good steward of your calling, you have to make sure, and I know many of you have your own personal businesses and things like that, and that is not something that we have discouraged you from doing, but you got to make sure you're not using your influence or your time at work to do your business. That's not right. That's not fair. Right? And it sends a message to your employees under you, your staff under you, that you don't want to send. You got it? So you got to make sure that you keep those separate. I'm not discouraging you. You know, I'm excited for many of you because of what you're doing. I mean, and I think today will even help you even better in other areas that you're working in. Because organizational principles and success principles work everywhere. They don't just work in a church setting. It'll work anywhere. But you got to make sure that you keep the two separate, that you don't let them overlap, so that there's no conflict of interest ever. All right? So, Avoiding overwhelm in ministry. I think we understand how to do that. Is that correct? Any comments on that? I want y'all to be happy and fulfilled as employees here, working as unto the Lord. Any comments on that? Yes, ma'am. Sources, and she talked to a lot of folk on the exit, and she talked about when they come in, they're all excited about Jesus, and we're working for the Lord, and then when they get ready to leave, I can't stand all. Come on, Bernie.
It takes a minute.
Okay. No, I was just saying thank you for covering it, because a lot of times we won't talk about it, we don't say anything, but yes, we do get those thoughts, and yes, we do hear so many negative things, and even though we've learned how to combat it, we still have times that, you know, you might have your moment that it hits you, and yeah, you may want to ask the question, but we won't come out and ask it. So I just thank you for covering it, because, you know, it just took care of a lot of things, I think, for me, and it is important, because sometimes you might love the person or you care about those people, and now they're bitter from the ministry and they want to talk to you about all this negative stuff, and you need to know what to do and how to combat all that.
Anybody else?
I just want, like, the statistics that you were given about the lives we touch, I think that's not communicated to us as managers. That kind of thing. I mean, I read everything you give, the vision and all that, but I think a lot of times we don't get that feedback, so we don't see that focus. So I think it would benefit us if we knew that, you know, periodically.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Anybody else? Comment? It's not Saturday, so y'all can talk.
Pastor, I think the aspect of keeping things in perspective is tremendously important, because as we do minister to people, our focus needs to be that we are in fact ministering as unto the Lord. So my heart has to be filled with compassion as I deal with hurting people, because hurting people don't always respond like you feel they ought to respond. Sometimes they might respond favorably for a moment, and you know, you see them again, and they all back. They see their appearance and their natural approach might be just totally the way you didn't expect them to respond. So I think that we have to keep a focus on depending on the Word of God, and they're directing them to the Word of God for the response that we get, because we want to see all people healed and delivered and living the abundant life, anybody we touch. And I think that's one of the major things that makes our church so great.
All right. Okay. Well, in closing this section about avoiding overwhelm in ministry, I think you just need to guard yourself and not allow others to sucker you into negative talk about the church. And that is, when you hang around people who talk negatively about the church, the word gets back that you were talking. Because, see, they're the ones that say, he say, she say. When you entertain it, you just need to know what happens. That when you're around somebody who's talking, they may be doing all the talking, but you're listening, and you're giving assent to it by entertaining, by listening to it. And then they're the ones that go and say, you said it. And it gets back to us that you were doing the talking. So you have to watch that. Those are the tricks that people play. And you gotta watch that. Keep your heart right. Ministry is a wonderful thing. It's a calling. You're equipped to do your calling. And I think that if you watch, guard your heart, that's the main thing there. Yeah. You can just keep your heart right. You can be good. Yes, sir.
I have a comment in reference to what you just stated, because I consider myself a very good listener. A lot of times I listen to people, and a lot of times they have complaints about the ministry and the way things go. And I guess I have a comment just in reference to, you know, our leadership, you and Dr. Bridget and others, that if a person does say that, you know, we are listening and so forth, because we do the best we can. I know everybody that's in my circle trying to combat and trying to comfort people and to give them the information that they need so that they can stay on track. I just need to be reassured by you guys that if somebody does say something negative, that we, because we're listening to them, that they don't misunderstand us listening to them, that we're not participating in that conversation. Because a person can very well just say, well, you know, they did this or you said this or whatever. So we need to be reassured by you guys that you on our side in that same respect. Because folks do lie.
Well, here's the point. Here's where I am. If I ever have a problem with you, I'm coming to you straight up. So if I haven't come to you, I ain't got no problem with you. You can always count on that. That if I got a problem with you, Dr. Bridget got a problem with you, if somebody told me something, I'm coming straight to you. You never have to wonder, is he upset with me? You will know, because I can't hide it. That's just the way I am. Because that's where I would want somebody to be with me. I'm straight up like that. So you don't never have to wonder, you know, if you were, because you, many of you are in a position where you're going to hear people talking because they got a complaint. That's one thing. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you are not in a staff position of dealing with a complaint, but you're in a casual setting, you follow me, and negative talk is coming up, and to me, that kind of thing you don't need to participate in. Because, you know what I mean, as a staff person, to me, you need to guard yourself from that. Because if somebody walks in on the conversation and see you standing there and all this is going on, then they will assume that you're negative too. You got it? And so you want to keep yourself away from that. But if anything ever does get back to me, you have to understand and trust me. That's why I said when I was talking about the positives about the employees, most people know me. Most employees know me. If I got a problem, I'm not going to make an assumption. I'm going to come to you straight up, and I'm going to say, hey, here's what's going on. And there are folk in the room who can testify that I'll front you out straight up. And we come in my office, let's talk, or I call you on the phone, let's talk. I put it on the table because I wouldn't want anybody to make assumptions about what I said. So if I thought you said something, don't think you handled something right, then I'm going to ask you. I'm going to tell you straight up. Because that's the only way to be. See, here's what you got to understand. I, meaning ministry, have invested money in you. You got it? You are valuable assets to the company. I ain't trying to run nobody off. Only way I want to run you off, you ain't doing your job and you become a liability. Then before I run you off, I'm going to do everything I can to be a good steward over what the people and this ministry and I have invested in you. You got it? Because, and I think I need to say this because I had one time that was an employee, that was a manager. And I was telling, I ain't trying to run you off. I'm trying to get you to be more productive, but I'm not trying to run you off. And you got to understand that. That's just not who I am. I'm not going to play games with your life. So if any time that situation would happen, where somebody would come back and say, so-and-so said something, rest assured, pastor's not going to take somebody's word that you said something. I'm going to come to you and say, this is what happened, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and hey, you know, let's deal with it. And then it's at that time, you know, you need to know then, that person ain't your friend. You got it? Now what you do from then on, no, mark a five. Go on, Bridget, you want to say something?
I just wanted to say that the managers as well as employees, it should be conveyed to them that if we do confront you on something, it doesn't change the relationship that we have with you. We're still committed to you, and that nobody can hinder the relationship we have with you but you. So nobody can come to us and say, so-and-so said so-and-so, and pastor knows, I mean, everybody in the room probably know, I will confront you. I will front you out. I will come to you and say,
this person said you said so-and-so, and there are people in the room who your family members have said things, and I've gone to them, and I said, your family member said so-and-so. Is this true? So you don't ever have to worry about our relationship with you changing because somebody said something. I'm going to come directly to you and find out, did you say that? And then based on whatever the outcome is, then, you know, you're the only one who can change the relationship.
That is why it is so important that you really know us. That's so important. You know, my relationship with my father in the faith, Dr. Price, has been, you know, we've been, how long? 21 plus years. Yeah. During that time, we've had some situations. I've always trusted in every situation him, his character. I know him. I've had guys lie, I had preachers, big preachers lie on me. But I always know how Doc gonna process it, so it never bothers me. I have, factions within the group, you know, who don't that and the group that we're in that don't like me. You got it? And go to him with all kind of little foolishness. But I trust him. You got it? Because I know that if he ever has a problem, he'll come to me and say, Ira, this is what's going on. So I rest in it. Even though a lot of stuff happens, I totally rest in, I know his character. That is how I want you to treat me. I want you to know that, hey, I know the man's character. He's not going to penalize me for something that somebody said, and he didn't talk to me. He didn't give me the opportunity to defend myself. Never. Never. Ever. That's just not who I am. That's just not me. So, I mean, if the devil's shooting that thought in your mind, you need to kill that right away. Yeah. Oh, just come and talk to me. See, I'm making a point to let you know I've invested in you. You know, I see you, I value you as a person in the body of Christ. And that's the first reason I ain't gonna ever do anything to you wrong. I ain't gonna ever do anything. I'm gonna be a good steward of this ministry, but I ain't gonna ever do anything to you wrong. I learned a lesson. Y'all heard me teach about it a long time ago. It ain't just a sermon. It's reality. I know how much God loves his people. Whether they're right or whether they're wrong, he still loves you. And I ain't gonna bother you. Secondly, as an employee of this ministry, we've invested in you. And I like everybody in the room. You just ain't an employee. I like y'all. You know, of course, yeah, I love you with the love of the Lord, but I like y'all too. You understand? You know, no, seriously. And it's this kind of thing, and I'm taking a little more time on it because, see, this is the heart of it to me. Because if you don't get this right, then it affects performance and everything. You got it? And you got to know us. You got to know us. We don't see you as some nameless line, a number on the mailing list, on the membership roll. No, that's not how you see it. And we'll never mistreat you, ever. They ain't never go on my record. No. Never. Ever. All right. Any more comments? Well, let's just stand up and stretch for 5 minutes before we go into the next session.